I want to talk about Vayehi bin Soa Haroin Vayom Moshe. In this week's parasha, we have two psukim. We have two psukim in the middle of the parasha. Vayehi bin Soharon, when the Aaron traveled. Vayoyim Moshe Kuma Hashem V'yafutsu Oyvecha V'yanusu Misanech Miponecha. May your Hashem, may you rise up. May you disperse all of your enemies. May all of the enemies and all of the people that are pursuing the Jewish people, may they disperse and be eliminated. Ovenuchu Yomar. And when Hashem's, when the Aaron found rest, Shuva Hashem Rivivoy Salfei Shal. Okay, this is the Torah is describing the moment when the Aaron Hashem was in motion. There is halacha in Shulchan Aruch that when the Sefer Torah is in motion, we are mechuyif to stand. We all know that when they open up the Aron HaKodesh, everyone suddenly stands up. What exactly are the guidelines, the guidelines of this? Simchas Torah is a very big problem. Simchas Torah, the Sefer Torah is always in motion, Hakafis, and it's indeed a very big problem which is not resolved. Why do we? Okay, we'll get to that at the end. But what are the exact rules? So I think we're all under the assumption the moment when you open up the Aron HaKodesh, the Aron is open, you have to stand. The truth is that's not so simple. This is the big controversy. Moshuls, and what's the minig, what do they do here? You open up the Aron and you wait. There's a long delay from the time, at least I grew up in a shul where they opened up the Aron. First they would sing Afar Rachamim. And then they would open up the Aron, Vayehi bin Soa, and they would sing Vayehi bin Soa for a long time. And then they would say Brich Shmei, and then they would sing the end of Brich Shmei. And then after they conclude the end of Brich Shmei, they would first take out the Sefer Torah. From the time that the Aron was opened, is that what they do over here?
Yeah.
They sing Vayehi bin Soa?
They always sing all that stuff.
Yeah, that was time.
They don't always? Take the short version.
My short.
I grew up. It was Yehorig Val Yavar not to sing Vayehi. Av Harachamim.
Sings the whole Brich Shmei.
Oh, the whole Brich Shmei.
It depends if you
okay.
Learn a new
tool
that week.
Okay, there's a lot of singing. Av Harachamim. It's very nice. It's there's something to it. Absolutely. So the problem is, so the question is, like, what point in time are you mechuyif to stand? So I think most of us are under the assumption Av harachamim, I think we're all standing. Av harachamim, where are you all standing? But that's before, av harachamim is before you, it's before. So most of us already standing. I guess I'm from, because they're saying they say Kaddish, and you say Kaddish to Skabel. Okay, but I grew up in a shul where the rabbi said a Dvar Halacha. Some shuls, they say the drasha at this point in time. So everyone is seated for the drasha, or seated for Dvar Halacha, or announcements. A lot of shuls, they use this time, it's a captive audience. Right, it's a captive audience. How often do you have a captive audience? You got to take advantage. Take advantage. So everyone is seated. Now we begin with Av. Nowhere does it say you have to stand for Av Harachamim. Okay, it's a nice. I'm not exactly sure why we say this. I'm sure there is a reason, and I want to talk about the other things that we say in a moment. But I'm not exactly sure how this came in. Does it say here in the Sefer? I don't think he even mentions this. Brich Shmei, Vayehi bin Sohara. Let me give you a quick moment. No, he doesn't talk about this. Very strange.
I know my shoes, the old guys are just as hard to sit down as get up.
They just stay. Okay. They do not, right? They sit for Kaddish. You're not allowed to stand.
You're not allowed to sit.
You're not allowed to sit.
Right. Right. But before Kaddish. Like a rock, the whole shul will go
down. Correct.
Once Kaddish starts, then I'll
stand. Now I'll stand, that's right. Okay, so Av Harachamim, our minig is to stand. I'm not sure, we have to look further into it more, why even do we say this and why we stand. But then comes Vayehi bin Soara. The minig olam, everywhere, B'liyo Yitzvah Klal appears to stand up. Why? Because the Aron HaKodesh, the opening of the Aron HaKodesh. You're not taking out the Sefer Torah until most places, until at the end of Brich Shmei. It's not so clear Right. When you take out the sifter, I think it's more correct. The more correct way to, which we don't do, there's a discrepancy between the English art school siddur and the Hebrew art school siddur. The real correct way is to take out the Sefer Torah right after you say Vayihi bin Soho Aron, and to say Vayihi bin Soho Aron when you're holding the Sefer Torah. And then you give it to the shatz. You give it to the shatz, and then the shatz says Shema Yisrael. In fact, that's what it says in the Hebrew art scroll siddur. You know what? Let me just give you a second. It's very interesting. It's not the way they do it in the Young Israels. No, they do this. Here I have a svart siddur. I saw this in Mir Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. In Mir Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, this is how they do it. They say a lot of Shivas don't even say Brich Shmei. I don't know what happened. They don't even say anymore Brich Shmei. But near Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael, they say Brich Shmei. They say it very slowly. It's beautiful, beautiful. We'll talk about it a little bit in a few minutes. But it's very interesting to read you the correct procedure. What we do not do here in America. Rav Moshe, the truth from Rav Moshe, he writes, this is what you're supposed to do. And in the Hebrew version, he got it right. Okay, here we go. Brich Shmei, here. I have here a siddur, right? Right before it says, Vayihi bin Soa. Okay, this is art school. I didn't even see what it says. I'm guessing. I'm going to get into trouble now because I didn't even see what it says. Here's an art school siddur, Vayihi bin Soa. They're Hebrew letters. Yesh lamoid, mishas psichas ha'arayin. That's controversial what he's saying. Taz says, Beferish, not like this. Ad shemanichim sefer Torah ala bima, until they put the sefer Torah on the bima. So the instructions of the siddur is to stand when they say Vayihi bin Soa. Kishapaisrim ha'aron oimim, when they open the aron, you say these words. Bekama ki lois moisifim aseres yimei tshuva vashon shraba tilos. Okay, other tilos. It says then Brich Shmei, and then it says Achazen noitel hasefer Torah bezroyoy hayimonis. So he doesn't say this here. I think I have the other sitter.
You're looking in the weekday.
I'm looking in the weekday. Does it make a difference? Shouldn't make a difference. Let me go to the Shabbos.
I know what says inside.
Let's go to the Shabbos version. Tikkun to Shabbos. I have to go look in the other siddur. Let me see quickly in this siddur, in the arts, in the English siddur. I think it says it a little different. Shachris Nechol, Ashrei. This is not really the thing we want to talk about, but okay, it says that the Torah is removed from the ark after you finish Brich Shmei. After you finish Brich Shmei, it says the Torah is removed from the ark. That's not what it says.
That doesn't say anything.
You have a regular sitter? Right. Here it says in the art scroll, the Torah is removed from the ark and presented to the Chazan, who accepts it in his right arm. He then turns to the ark and raises the Torah slightly as he bows and recites.
If he has here,
where does it say Motzin? What sitter is that?
This is the original version.
This is, pick it up. Let me see. Hebrew, okay?
It says, right before Brich Shmei, Ryan Brich Shmei, the Ayim Vigus Maisha Rechayim, Helik
Dalsim, and Ayim. Okay, so Moshe says they took it out in this version. Motzin, it doesn't say Motzin in this edition. In the English edition, it says that you first take out the Sefer Torah after Brich Shmei. Okay, so in English, the Sefer Torah is in the Aron. It's in the Aron when everyone is saying Vayihi bin Soa. It's in the Aron when everyone is saying Brich Shmei. So it's in the Aron for a very long time.
Right.
It's a lot. And now it says, now the Torah is removed from the Ark. Now we first take out the Sefer Torah. Rav Moshe says that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to say Vayihi bin Soa. And right after Vayihi bin Soa, you take it out before you say Brich Shmei. That's what it says in the Hebrew article, right?
It
says Motzin. What does it say? Before Brich Shmei, what does it say? Okay. So direct contradiction, right? There's a head-on contradiction between the English and the Hebrew. The English, it says you take out the Sefer Torah after Brich Shmei, and in the Hebrew it says you take out the Sefer Torah before Brich Shmei. And anyone that's going to question why is the English Hebrew different than the English, go look in Igros Moshe, because it was first pointed out to them, the Igros Moshe, after they already printed the English edition. In the Hebrew edition, there are changes in the halachas. They didn't take it away because it's kosher also the way it is here, but they changed it. But the point I want to make is, do you really have to stand when you open up the Aron Kodesh before you take out the Sefer Torah? This is the topic, an entire chapter devoted to this topic in Rabbi Tezner's Sefer. Rabbi Tezner is one of his Svarim, not Rabbi Tezner, I'm sorry, from Dvorkis, Rabbi Dvorkis, El Yakim Dvorkis, one of his Svarim, and he brings down a Taz that says you don't. You do not, the only time you need to take out the Sefer Torah is only when it is removed, or stand, is only when it is removed from the Aron HaKodesh. Because the Aron, the Eikar Halacha is to stand, is when the Sefer Torah is in movement. It's out of its makom. When the sefer is on the bima, the only time you mechuyif to stand for the sefer Torah is when it's not in its makom. Just because you open up the Aron Kodesh, you open up the doors, everyone can see the sefer Torah, is not a mechuyif to stand for a sefer Torah. What is mechuyif you to stand for a sefer Torah is when the sefer Torah is outside of its location, its resting location. Absolutely, exactly the point. So therefore, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim and the Ilah, when they open up the Aron, Mikar Hadin, there's no chiv to stand. Just because the Aron HaKodesh has been opened, so it's opened. The Sefer Torah is resting, Uvenucho Yomar. It's where it was, it's where it will be, it's in its resting location. Just because I happen to have an advantage of seeing the Sefer Torah, it's not mechayiv me to stand. In fact, there are some shuls where, you know, these are the old time shuls where when the shul, the minyan is in session, you can see the Sefer Torah. You know, I don't know if you can see it fully, but it's made in a way where part of the yofi of the shul, you can see the Sefer Torah. It's not fully, the Sefer Torah has a mantle, you're not seeing the ksav, the osios. All about standing, you're not mechuyav to stand, only when it is in motion. The problem is the Chasam Sofer, Derech Agav, he mentioned in one of his tshuvas that when you open up the Aron, you have to stand. Now the tshuva was discussing a very bizarre situation. The person he has to shout to the Chasam Sofer, the Rav or the Gabbai wanted to make the make a shavua. There was a person in shul that owed money or was in trouble, and they wanted him to take a shavua, an oath, and they wanted to scare him. They wanted to dress him in tachrichim, to put on dead man's clothing, and he should lie down on a bed to make believe he's dead, or to get an appreciation of what it's like to be dead, in the shul, in front of the shul, in front of the Aron HaKodesh, and they're going to open up the Aron HaKodesh, and they're going to make the shvua in front of him, while he's lying down, dressed in tachrichim. So they asked the Chasam Sofer, are they allowed to do this? So he says, he never heard of such a thing. He never heard of such a thing of making a shvua. Then he says, besides, the fact that the Aron HaKodesh is open is mechayev him to stand. So everyone jumps. What's going on? Since when that was true. The shaila was, they have a person, they want him to lie down, tachrichim, and they're going to make a shvua in front of the Aron HaKodesh with the Sefer Torah there. Chasam Sofer says, first of all, you don't make up new halachas. You never have a halacha to put a person in tachrichim and lie down and make a shvua. Number two, if the Aron is open and they're making the shul in front of the Sefer Torah, you have to stand. So the question is, what are you talking about? There is no halacha. There's a Taz. The Taz says that you don't have to stand when the Aron is in the Aron HaKodesh, and it's al makoima, only when the Sefer Torah is traveling, it's in movement. You're going from the Aron to the Bima, it's in movement, it's out of its home. That's when you have to stand. How do we understand this? So these, the basic answers are, one answer is the Chasam Sofer never meant, it was not literal. He was just in his slavos, in his enthusiasm to respond to the ridiculous nature of this tshuva, this request that a person should lie down in shul and tachlichem and take a shua. What kind of ridiculous thing is this? And some sefer Torah is there. He never meant to be taken literally. So don't go. Don't, when you look at a tshuva, you got to be careful not to get carried away. The other answer that Farshim gives, a very very powerful answer, is no. Even though it's true that when you open up the Aron Kodesh, you don't have to stand. That's only when it's not being opened for a specific reason. If the Aron is being opened for in honor of a person or for a specific reason, then you do have to stand. In other words, let's say they're coming to fix the parochas. You're giving, you have a shir, you have a koil is in session, and we have a carpenter that's here, he's going to fix the door of the Aron Kodesh. So all of a sudden, the doors are open, the Sefer Torah is exposed. Are you mechuyev to stand for the Sefer Torah? Absolutely not. The Sefer Torah is resting in its place. Just because you can see the Sefer Torah doesn't mean you have to stand. You ever go to a sofer? You ever go to a sofer? You have the sofer, they have 50 Sefer Torah all over the place. They're standing the whole day. They're not standing the whole day because the Sefer Torah, they're resting on a shelf. They're resting in a place. Everything is in Al Mekoimo. You don't have to stand, but I can see it. Good for you. You can see it. It's not mechayev you to stand. But when the Sefer Torah is being exposed for a purpose, that requires you to stand. When Bez Din, a ritual purpose, so when Bez Din, let's say they issue an oath, what was the procedure in ancient times when people took shuas? Today we don't do this anymore, but in ancient times people took shuas every so often. Persons with high money, you have to swear. How do you swear? You swear either holding a Sefer Torah, you hold the Sefer Torah and you swear, or it appears, they didn't always have to hold it, they opened up the Aron Kodesh, and in front of the Aron Kodesh they made the shvuah, or the shvuah was said and they would answer Amen. So here, since the person is taking a shvuah because it's being administered to him, and they're opening up the Aron Kodesh so that the shvuah should have an impact upon him, then he's mechuyev to stand. So now the question comes back when it comes to Vayihi bin Soa Ha'aron. How do we view Vayihi bin Soa Ha'aron? It's over, if this idea of the Chassam Sefer is correct, that when you open up the Aron in order to administer it, in order to show the Sefer Torah for a ritual purpose, you have to stand. How then do we review the opening of the Aron during the Piyutim on the Yomim Noiraim and Vayihi bin Soa Ha'aron? Is that mechayev us to stand? Now, certainly the minig is to stand, but the question is, are you to exert yourself? If you're at a stage where I can do it, but it's a little bit, there's a bit of difficulty. If you tell me that the halach is I have to do it, I'll do it. If you're telling me that it's that I don't have to really do it, then you know, I think I'll pass on this one. So that is the very big dilemma. It appears from the place that he brings down by Dvorkis, he says, you don't have to stand. Ikar didn't, you do not, Ikar didn't need to stand. When they're going to shul, and they're going to sing for a very long time, by he bin Soha Aron, and they're going to sing Baruch Shmei, in a traditional shul they sing, if it's hard for you, you don't have to exert yourself to stand, because the Sefer Torah is Al Mekoimai, it's Munich Al-Yaron HaKodesh, you're giving cover to the Sefer Torah, it's not being opened up in order to make you stand up, in order to administer something, type of oath upon you. You don't have to stand Iker Hadin. But of course, when they take out the Sefer Torah from the Aron and they bring it to the Bima, that is a Chiyuv. Then a person has to do everything he possibly can do to stand in honor of the Sefer Torah. No, the Kriya, you Kriya the Sefer Torah. So the Kriya and Shulchan, the only one that has to stand by the Kriya is the one that's laning, the Baal Koreh, and the Oila, the one who gets the Aliyah. They are mechuyev to stand. But the Tzibur does not have to stand because the Sefer Torah is Munach Al Mekoimai. It's resting on its place, it's on the Bima. What? Even if it's open, just because it's open, it's still resting. It's being used. So what? It's being used. But it's not. The only requirement is when the Sefer Torah is out of its home. Uvayehi bin soa. The key word is bin soa, or when the Aron is in traveling. And therefore, that's very important, Allah, that when the Aron is not during davening. If you're in a shul now, a service coming to take away the Sefer Torah to fix it for repair, and you mechuyev when the Sefer Torah is taken out of the Aron HaKodesh, you mechuyev to stand, even though it's not part of davening. It's not a din in davening, it's a din in bin soa ha'aron. When the aron is in motion, whether it's during davening from the aron to the bima, or whether it is not during davening, it's being taken away for repair, it's in motion, you mechuyev to stand. It becomes a very big problem. Or you're on an airplane, and someone walks in on the airplane with a Sefer Torah. The few times I've traveled, I haven't traveled that much, but I've seen this, those few times, people, they traveling with a Sefer Torah. They come with a duffel bag, they put it on top, they hold it, they don't hold it, they take turns, they do all different things. But while they're traveling with the Sefer Torah, that is a geder vayehi bin soha aron yimuchuyev to people in the vicinity. What?
Even if it's in its own rishus, like it's in a box.
So if it's in a box, that could already be different. If you put it in, you encase it in a box, within a box, what are the gedarim of making it and putting it to its own rishus? So you cover it with a towel, put it in a duffel bag. So you're saying that's not called traveling, it's not exposed. If it's in just the mantle, you're holding the mantle, that's called ayib and sahara. But if it's not wrapped up in a talis, so if it's wrapped up in a towel, it's wrapped up in a box, so maybe then it's really called its own rishus, so that's not called vayihi bin sarah. Possibly.
Okay. We have that on Shabbos.
What?
We have that on Shabbos, where we're in the middle of davening.
Right, so
they have yeshiva and enough.
They come take away the Sefer Torah, the things that are.
Everybody stands up.
Okay, that's like, okay. Now once we're discussing, same thing. A Sefer Torah, even if it's missing the majority of the letters, long there are 85 letters, you have to stand for the Sefer Torah. Okay, now let's go. Now, what about someone also want to learn? That's why the minig is to have pamoinim, bells. You have a breastplate, or you have a keser, and there are bells. Where did that come from? To have bells to warn you, the Sefer Torah is in motion. It's in motion. It's now begin vahib bin soa. You have to stand. Problem is, what about Shabbos? There's a prohibition to make musical sounds on Shabbos. So some say the bells are not musical sounds. The fact that it wiggles a little bit, it makes a little bit of a sound, that's not called music, that's not called a violation of klei shir, and you're not doing it deliberately, as you're traveling, it happens naturally, that is not a problem. The primary reason we have the bells is that it shouldn't make noise. And some say, Adrab, that's right, this is only meant for during the week. The bells are meant for services during the week, not for Shabbos. You never see people using the silver during the week, everyone's in a rush, but on Shabbos, Adrabba, you should make the silver where you don't have the clapper inside, so it does not make that much noise to cause people to stand. Okay, now let's
put the Sefer Torah on the shoes that have the.
On the holder. So Moshe is very against the holder.
Yes, that's
and Moshe says you're not allowed to do that.
Like in the army.
It's al makoima. It's in its place. Possibly, if that's the lumnus. So Moshe doesn't hold that lumnus, but those who disagree, those who do otherwise.
Sitting good is better than
right? What?
Yeah. If a person is sitting with it.
Is that
a person is sitting with it, so, but that is called. It's a. I don't know the good arm. That's a really.
Well, that's the change. Wait, take out two Sefer Torah.
I don't know the answer.
You, on the inside, they always made sure somebody was sitting and holding.
Rav Moshe writes, if you don't, no one wants all the Sefer Torah, put it back in the Aron. Okay, they're reading the Maftir. If you're in a shul, that's what he writes. If you're in a shul and no one wants to hold the Sefer Torah during Maftir, so just put it back in the Aron. Put it back. Do v'nuchu yomar right away, and then he lay in the Haftarah. That is better than putting a Sefer Torah in on a stand, on a holder. That he felt is a zilzal to the cover of the Sefer Torah. That was Rav Moshe's opinion. Okay.
The times that I had to take the Sefer to Sefer to have it looked at, I always made sure that I had somebody to sit and hold it in the car. And then laying it down and putting it any place.
You cover it with a talis.
It didn't matter. I just, Rav Moshe had said this to me a long, long time ago.
Roosevelt.
When I was in a hotel for Pesach one time and I had to bring the Sefer Torah, so my son sat in the back. The whole trip I said, we have room. I said, we don't have room anywhere. You're going to sit and hold it the whole time. It was a 6-hour drive, and he had to sit and hold the Sefer Torah the whole time.
There's a Sefer Torah in the Roosevelt, upstate, the New Hyde Park. His museum, his library, his. The young Israel of the Bronx donated a Sefer Torah. They gave him Sefer Torah as a book, I guess. So there's a Sefer Torah in the museum.
Sagamore Hill.
Is that okay? Is that okay?
I don't know.
That's Sagamore Hill.
It's al makomai. All right, let's just ask a few quick things about Sefer Torah. We're running out of time. This is very, very short. Number one, why is this pasuk Vayhi ben Sarah, and why are there upside down nuns surrounding the beginning and the end of this parasha? So there are many, many interpretations. One interpretation is that this parasha really belongs in a different place. Rashi says this, the Ramban says this. It was there to be modeled in Puranas Lepuranas. Where does it belong? Some want to suggest that the 50 parshios back. 50 parashas back takes you to the Masois, the Golem of the Levi. When you're talking about the parashas Psuchos and Stumos in Sefer Torah, not a parasha of the Torah in Bamidbar, Noso, Baalois, we're talking about the Psuchos and Stumos. This parasha of Ayihi ben Soharon belongs 50 parashas Psuchos or Stumos backwards. Where would that take you if you count? It takes you to the Golem. It takes you to Shevet Levi. In the middle of the Golem was the Aron, and the Aron traveled with the Golem. That's where it belongs. Why was it put over here? To be Mavdil ben Puranus Lepuranus. What was the Puranus Lepuranus? Simply means there are two Puranus. The Puranus of the Klal Yisrael, they left Har Sinai Kitinuk Haboreach Mibes HaSefer Vayisu Me Har Sinai. They fled from Har Sinai. They couldn't wait to get out of there. Enough is enough. Like Koilel, right? You can't wait 12 o'clock, out. Vayisu, to get out. And what's the next Puranas? Vayiyam kimisoininim. Kimisam, they complained. So in order not to have two Puranas next to each other, we will mavel ben Puranas, the Puranas we have over here, this parish in the middle, with the upside down ones. Others say a much deeper idea, which is very important, and explains a lot of things, is that there are really three Puranas. There is Vayisu mehar Sinai. The Messianim, and there is the fact that the Aron itself has to travel. He bin so Aron. The fact that the Aron itself is traveling, that's also a Puranas. Because the context of the pasuk is that the Aron wanted to run away from Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was not holding with the program. They were not appreciating the Chashivas of Torah. There was a tefillah on Klal Yisrael. The Aron says, I don't want to be part of this group. I don't want to be here. And the Aron fled. And Moshe had to beg, don't go more than 3 days ahead of us. If you're going to go more than 3 days, then we're not going to have, then we're going to get lost. I had to slow it down. But the fact that the Aron itself fled, that itself is a form of Puranas. Now therefore, that explains why we take out the Sefer Torah. Now this is a very interesting idea. Where does the Sefer Torah really belong in the shul? 24/7. Think about it. It really belongs on the Bima. When you come into shul, where does the sefer belong? When you go out for a break, you put the gemara back on the shelf, or you leave the gemara on your stand. When you're in yeshiva, right, you learn for seder, you come back, you're going out for a coffee break, you're going out to the Beis HaKiseh. So what do you do with your sefer? Oh, I'm going out. Take a telephone call. So you take your gemara, you put it on the shelf. Bye bye. I'll see you in 10 minutes. You do that? You don't do that. You keep the Gemara on your stand and you just close it. You come back. Where does the Sefer Torah really belong in the Beis HaKnesses? It really belongs on the Bima. That's where it belongs. Where does it say, I don't remember all the details, but where are the Luchos in the Beis HaMikdash? The Luchos are in the Aura. Was that the original plan? A lot of the Mepharshim say that was not the original plan. The original plan was the Luchos were meant to be exposed. The Luchos were not meant to be contained inside of a box and covered on top. The Luchos were meant to be exposed for all to see. Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the Bayis Rishon, he built giant-sized kruvim. Why did he build giant-sized kruvim? The giant-sized kruvim, those were the original plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there should be just kruvim covering the exposed luchos. It's only because we did not merit, we don't have a full appreciation for the Torah has to be concealed. It's put in a box, and there are little kruvim that cover the box. And only occasionally are we zocha to take out the Torah out of the box and look at the Torah. But because we don't have a full appreciation for the Torah, we have to put the Torah away, concealed in the box. The fact that the Torah is in the Aron HaKodesh and is not on the Bima, and the Bima is not surrounded by, like you can have all the Sefer Torah around the Bima, be a beautiful Bima, all the Sefer Torah around the Bima, we have to build different types of Bimos today to accommodate all the Sefer Torah, that represents a chesaron in us, that we don't have a full appreciation for Torah. If we had a full appreciation for Torah, the Torah would be on the bima. Because we're lacking, we have no choice but to put it away in hiding. And occasionally, take it from the Aron and bring it to the bima. The Nela, every time we take the Aron, we take the Sefer Torah from the Aron to the bima, it's really a reminder how we're degrading the Sefer Torah. Why do we have to take the Torah to us? We should go to the Torah. The fact that we have to transport the Torah touches upon our chesaron. And that it represents golos. Golos also represents our chesaron. And that's why we have to be mispalul kuma Hashem v'yafutzu oivecha v'yinusu nisanecha liponecha. Why do we have to focus on our enemies? Our enemies is a reminder of that we're vulnerable, that we are lacking, we are deficient, we're not tzaddikim. If we were tzaddikim, we would not have enemies. We would not have to go to war. We would not have all these problems. When we take the aron from the aron to the bima, it reminds us of all of our chesronos, and that's why we have to be mispalel that our enemies. We should be protected from enemies because we're lacking in emuna, in appreciation, and that's why we have to trouble the Sefer Torah to travel, to make it uncomfortable to travel from place to place, and we have to then at that point be mechazik ourselves, and then specifically at that point in time we have to stand and give reverence to the Sefer Torah to make up for what we're lacking in our covet for the Sefer Torah. If we had a full appreciation of the Sefer Torah, there wouldn't be an aron. The Sefer Torah would be on the bima 24/7. And we would never have, and we would just come to the bima and lay the Sefer Torah. Because we're lacking, we don't have the year of the Sefer Torah. We have to put it away in hiding. Now, once in a while, we're going to learn. So we take it out, we remind, look at this, Achim Vey, we have to take it out. We couldn't have it on the bima ready for us. There's a chesaron in us. We have to make up that chesaron by giving the Torah special covet when we bring it to the Aron HaKodesh. And we also have to recognize that's the source of all our problems. Because we don't have covet for the Sefer Torah, we have enemies. We're under attack. We have problems. And therefore we have to mispalul kuma Hashem v'yafutzu evecha v'yinusu misanecha miponecha. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you.